Welcome once again. It's the Week 1 Waiver Wire. Let's go. All right, so if we are going to talk about waiver wire, maybe it would be fitting to first cover a good portion of the injuries. And I say a good portion because we're going to list a bunch of names, sadly. I give a chuckle there out of disbelief, but it is professional football. And I'm not even positive they're all the names. I'm not sure. But so I'm just going to kind of list them out here. This is what I'm looking at. And then Tim can add anything I might miss, or if you have any comments, Tim, on any of them. So we have George Kittle. He is one of the most significant injuries this week from what I saw. He may be out for a while. He has a hamstring injury. Then we have Evan Ingram, Xavier Worthy. He's another one, dislocated shoulder. He might be another bigger one. Brock Bowers, Brock Purdy, Drake London, Green Bay. Oof, what are we doing? Jaden Reed, Matthew Golden, Dontavian Wicks. So that's the list that I've got in front of me, but there may even be more.
Couple things on those injuries. The first one being Kittle. The original thing that they're thinking is 4 to 6 week recovery,
boom,
which probably means an IR stint. Yeah. So if you're a Kittle owner, and more than likely most Kittle owners, even probably in a 12 team, are maybe not really backing him up unless they're saying, hey, like, I kind of know Kittle has a penchant for injury. I think the only other one that requires us to consider future movement for players is probably the Worthy injury, being that that's also a shoulder injury. Initial diagnosis was probably a separated shoulder, which that usually does not get better. Like, it will improve, but it will not be I twist my ankle. It's more like, if it were something like an ankle, it'd be the high ankle sprain, right? The one that lingers. So dislocated, separated shoulder. I've gone through that, not comfortable for a number of weeks after, especially if you are trying to continuously move it and keep it kind of getting the blood out of it, I think is the big thing. So those are the two big injuries that for me, I'm going, these guys are probably going to go on the IR, just especially those teams and how important they are to those teams. You're not going to rush either one of them back. On the flip side, thinking about the injuries out in Green Bay, you know, those wide receivers, they were all tagged with questionable or limited practice prior to week one. So aside from Matthew Golden now being added to that list, I'm not highly concerned about anything there, because at the same point in that offense, I'm not really sure who I love yet.
Okay. Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. We're still feeling that out, right? And these little dings and nicks in them don't really help us figuring that out. So we're still flying by the seat of our pants on what to do in Green Bay. So, Worthy's going to miss some time. I will say that he's got to build up some strength in that shoulder again and recover from the dislocation. But you never know. You know, Tim, you made the estimation he could end up, on IR. These guys are professional athletes, you know, like, who knows, but it's better safe with that.
The injury itself, right? A shoulder injury for a receiver, where if you're trying to get a ball and you're not getting it in stride, what do you have to do for it? You gotta jump, dive for it, right? And where you landed every single time, like, I'll tell you, it's not comfortable. So that is the reason why I look at his injury specifically. Like, if he had a twisted ankle or whatever, like, okay, cool, like, wrap that up. But this might not be a wrap it up type thing, even though they probably will put him in some sort of a shoulder brace. We're just not sure yet.
Yeah. And some people, I do want to say, we mentioned two that are like, oh, these are probably the most significant ones. I know some of the names are scary, right? You have Brock Bowers. That's a scary name to see come up on the injury report week one. But he sounds pretty confident that he was pulled, as a cautionary thing just to make sure that he didn't do anything more to it and mess it up. He's talking good about it, real good. And I know that we can't always believe what they say, but that's what we got. It's week one. It's way early. So, while we're talking about this, I think that that's a great time to say, since I just said it's way early, we are not going to overreact to players who we thought would be bad and suddenly blew up, or players who we thought would be good and did not do well. That's very important for everyone out there. Do not freak out over week one. This is a kind of an assessment week for us, right? We look at it, we see how it shakes out, we see how our roster did, and then we balance it all against the strength of schedule, what we expect these offenses to look like. For instance, if you have a guy, and I can't name one off the top of my head, but if you have a guy who got a bunch of targets and maybe he didn't do great work with those targets or something like that, that's a good sign. It means that he's going to get the targets and he's going to be used in the offense. So if you've drafted him thinking that, don't freak out. Right. Just an example. There's lots of ways that that could happen.
Absolutely. And again, just to piggyback off of your sentiment here, we don't want to overreact, but we do want, again, we talked about this prior to even draft season itself. We want to be prepared,
Yes,
right? And
proactivity is
sometimes,
not reactivity. Yes, we can be proactive.
yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
So thinking about the only ways to improve the quality of your team after you draft, especially when you start considering these are human beings and there are going to be injuries and people are going to miss time. That's the nature of the game. There's only two ways to make your team better, right? And one is the waiver wire. And fortunately, regardless of how large most of our leagues are, you're always going to have, especially in week one, options. So let's get into some of these options, Rick. I really think that there were some high surprise performers, specifically at the quarterback position. I know that every year we talk about the importance of dual threat quarterbacks, and some of these guys have insane ceilings. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, we just saw last night. Both of them put on a show when it comes to the fantasy world. I mean, you got to love both of these guys. You can't just sit there and just hate on either one, even if you're a fan of one of them. But there are also a couple quarterbacks that might be sitting out there on your waiver wire right now that they showed out as well, and it's worth noting that these are guys that, again, even if they sit as your quarterback too, it's better to go get them now and have them than to go, no, I'm going to avoid this and I'm going to continue to stream because I don't want to drop the guy I drafted as my fifth wide receiver or my fourth running back. You might run into problems.
Yeah, you're going to have to make some. The roster you drafted is not the roster you end with. You're going to have to make some sacrifices, so you might as well get used to it now. Just make.
Positional scarcity is a
Yeah.
big thing in quarterback and tight end. These are two areas, and I think we need to attack both of them with different reasons, right? With tight end right now, it's because of injuries to a lot of these stud tight ends, guys that we're counting on to set in our roster. And then at the quarterback position, maybe it's not because of injury, because aside from Purdy, there isn't really a whole lot going on and needing to replace for the same reason as tight end. But again, give you a couple names, and Rick, I want you to kind of tell me some of your thoughts about each of these quarterbacks as we kind of get into them. The first one being Justin Herbert, who put on a show for week one.
Man, I said on our X account, which, this is, I guess, where it all ties in, right? I said, is Justin Herbert sick of your mouth, or is Justin Herbert sick of your mouth? Man, did he come out and prove that he has been disrespected. We have been disrespecting that man by not talking about him where we should be talking about him, which is on par with his performance in that game. That is where he belongs in the quarterback conversation. First of all, that slide that he did in that game, if you watch the game, you know what slide I'm talking about. That was like oozing with vibes. Like that was
Confidence.
all Riz right there for the kids. All Riz on that slide. Anyways, so Justin Herbert, 318 yards, three touchdowns, and 32 rushing yards. This is a guy who will get it done on the ground when he needs to. He's not necessarily going to put up the numbers like Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson, as we mentioned before. And that game, again, was just dizzying. The game last night, it was so phenomenal. But Justin Herbert, he will run and he's effective at it. So you have to count him in that territory. And I think that one of the things that knocked Justin Herbert down a peg was everyone, including me, I'll take my L's if they're there. Everyone was like, this is a rush first offense. They have two good backs, one that is a rookie up and comer who is an awesome running back, and one who is a consistent tank and has not missed a game in 4 years, which is incredibly hard for a running back, by the way. And they're now saying that, or Harbaugh said that he was on a snap count. He was on a 12 count snap, so that could change up. But the fact of the matter is, throwing the ball worked. So I don't see the Chargers not throwing the ball like we thought. I mean, we thought it would be, I mean, obviously not throwing the ball, even the worst throwing offense, as said, I believe it was Pat Fitzmaurice said, even the worst throwing offense still throws for about 3,000 yards, right? The worst throwing offense in the NFL. So someone's got to
Yeah,
throw
I think
the ball.
when I'm looking at this Herbert thing, I'm very proud of the coaching staff because there's a reason why we haven't gone after Justin Herbert the last few years, because when he first came out, he did light the world on fire for a season or two. And then again, you have organizational change, you have coaching change, you have a lot of other stuff going on, and obviously with Roman and Harbaugh at the helm, especially last year, and mostly out of probably need. I mean, Herbert's been banged up the last few years, and enough to keep him from doing the running that we saw early in his career. And maybe this is kind of a change in philosophy. It will be good for many players if that's the case. But Justin Herbert, definitely a guy to look at. Another one, really surprising, Daniel Jones. Out in
Incredibly surprising
Indianapolis.
that we're talking about him.
Go ahead, tell me a little bit. What did you think about Daniel
I
Jones
mean,
this year?
I still feel a little bit of the ick, including him, just because I'm like, Herbert, I could see him doing this every week. I could see him throwing 300 and three touchdowns, several weeks. Daniel Jones, could I see him getting three total touchdowns several weeks? Yeah, maybe, but something in my heart just.
Less of a probability.
Yeah, more like Danny Nichols than Danny Dimes to me. I don't know. It's a little more up and down, but he's another guy who, if you need a quarterback, right? Because some of you maybe didn't draft a quarterback until like round 10, 11, right? And you might be like sitting there like, well, I like having Dak on my roster. I think he's going to have a good season, but I might want to back him up, right? I might want to have someone behind him just so I have another option just in case. Now, if you have a stud, you're not backing up your quarterback. I beat the boards with that. I say it every time. If you have a stud, do not back up a stud like Josh Allen. Just roll it, save your roster spot. But if you have a guy who's one of those lower end, Daniel Jones could be one who steps in. Or if you're in a super flex, Daniel Jones might not even be there. But if he is and you're in a super flex, I'll take three touchdowns and 272 yards all day.
Yeah, and we've talked before in other positions in the past. You sit there and say, at the running back position, we talked about Chase Brown, you and I, yesterday, and I said, hey,
Yes.
look at these stats with Chase Brown. He had like 20 carries and like less than 50 yards. And you said, what? I
I don't.
don't care because he also caught how many passes and he ended up with how many points. So I make that to say with Daniel Jones, it's the same philosophy, right? It might not look pretty, and yeah, maybe you're not going to be getting all of the rushing, right, on a weekly basis. But I look at it and say Daniel Jones has been a starting quarterback in this league. Some of these guys, and you see it with guys like Sam Darnold now, he's been in two different teams. We said the same thing about him with the Jets, right? Trash. Not good, not productive. Change of scenery. Daniel Jones came in. He earned a lot of what he's getting right now. I don't know. I want to believe in the upside of giving the Indianapolis Colts offense and fantasy production kind of a boost, right? And that's got to come through the quarterback.
He moved the ball, right? He moved the ball. That's what
Thank you.
you need to do.
Last quarterback on our list for week one waivers. I mean, the guy's a Hall of Famer, but he also has been real weird the last few years. So, welcome back to Fantasy Relevance, maybe Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, look at that. I liked him in this offense. Obviously, we watch a lot of football because we do this. So, one of the reasons that we put all this together is because some of you may not have watched all the games like we did, or clips of all the games like we did. And I got to watch all these guys a little bit, and he looked good in that offense. He looked like he understood it. He looked like it was good for him. He looked comfortable and he was slinging it. Now, slinging it to the tune of only 244 yards, but four touchdowns. And touchdowns are money. So, money in the bank, go and cash it. And Aaron Rodgers is a guy who we were all, again, kind of down on, not just us who like to talk about fantasy football, but everyone who likes to play fantasy football. And that's evidenced in the draft position of Aaron Rodgers. He is sitting there in a lot of leagues right now. So when I say draft position, I mean he went undrafted in a lot of leagues. So Aaron Rodgers is a guy you can go snap up if you're questioning your quarterback situation right now.
And again, I think Aaron Rodgers, I mean, they did not go into, and I read an article about this, they did not go into this game, Pittsburgh, yesterday going, "Hey, we want Aaron Rodgers to throw the ball 30 to 40 times." It was, "Hey, this run game is not working the way that we wanted it to," and they just turned to him and he delivered. So we might see again, there's another, just like the Justin Herbert thing, right? You look at these offenses, you look at these schemes, you go a lot of running, coaches want to move the ball on the ground. I mean, this is also a passing league still. So Justin Herbert, Daniel Jones, Aaron Rodgers, all names to consider
Yes.
possibly for your fantasy football roster.
Yes. And, a lot of our league winners will probably come out later in the season. So we're not really talking about those guys right now yet, because while we did have a healthy dose of injuries, there are way more players out there still playing than there are than guys with injuries. So, yeah, let's talk about some running backs. And we had thought maybe running back would be kind of a dead conversation. We wouldn't have a whole lot to talk about. And honestly, we don't have a whole lot to talk about at running back. Our running back stayed healthy this week, and I think that that is a blessing. Any week we get through a week with all healthy running backs, I like to see it, because we know historically over the season they are more likely to go down. But we did, however, have major news just break today that changes the running back landscape in one town, and that town is Jacksonville. Well, two towns if you count Philly, but what that did was change a handcuff situation. So we'll briefly touch upon that right now and say, so because Bigsby was traded to the Philadelphia Eagles, I believe he is now the logical handcuff to Saquon Barkley. Tim, do you agree with that?
Yeah, what this tells me is that probably Shipley has an injury that will be significantly costing some time, and they just want to make sure that they have someone who they trust to back up Barkley. This is not really a needle mover. It's just if you're a Barkley owner and you had Shipley, you might want to flip out.
So the bigger news is over in Jacksonville, because the departure of Bigsby in this trade means that Bashal Tutin is the guy who is more than likely to step into that two role behind Travis Etienne, who, if you are an Etienne owner, you are a happy guy right now, or lady, you are a happy man or woman if you drafted Travis, because he showed out and they decided that they were going to send a running back away immediately. But that means that a space opens up for Tutin, and Tutin is going to step into that spot, and he may be out there available because we weren't really sure what was going to happen there. So if he is, give him a look.
Yeah, I'm still not really sure what's going on in Jacksonville. I think we're all surprised because the news and the concept all offseason was if we were going to lose one of those running backs out of that committee, it was going to be ETN. Sounds like they're going to hold on to him for the rest of his contract, which I can't remember how much that time that is, but it is surprising that Bigsby, who did show pretty well last season overall, maybe not as a pass catcher for fantasy football purposes, but in terms of his yards per carry, in terms of his running style, I thought that they were very happy with him. It looks like Bashal Tutin is going to be a guy who's maybe a little bit more flexible in terms of how you can use him. So again, another handcuff opportunity, maybe some standalone value, more like a Ray Davis situation in Jacksonville. Again, another name to look at now.
Sure. Yeah. And since we have Travis Etienne there, there's a possibility that that Tutin takes some of the load off Etienne, because Etienne is not a guy who's going to be, a bell cow all game rusher. He's going to be awesome when he's out there, apparently. And there were some people who were questioning that even going into this year, like Tim said. But
I was one of them,
yeah,
so.
Tim was one of them. Yeah. And like I said, we're all wrong sometimes, right? So we
Wrong
were
for
wrong.
1 week.
We were wrong for 1 week. That's exactly what I was just about to say. Wrong for 1 week. I wasn't as low as Tim, but I was questioning it. I was questioning it for sure. So at least for 1 week, we're wrong. And that's kind of what we say about not overreacting to anything, right? Like Javonte Williams. Okay, if you have Javonte Williams on your bench, we totally understand. If you started him for fun, we totally understand. Either way, awesome, right? He got 20 points. That's great. But the way he got those 20 points, we have to question it. And so we can't take too much out of that and say, oh my gosh, he just suddenly became a league winner and he's going to do this every week. And nah, we don't know that. Let's just
Yeah,
look at some
20
statistics.
fantasy points, and 12 of those fantasy points come from like what, touchdown rushes from 3 yards and in. So
Correct.
that's not gonna happen on a game to game basis. So again, great start to his season, great start for the Cowboys to
Yeah.
have some sort of rushing, but not much of a needle mover for me right now.
Yeah, and I'm flying, on the seat of my pants on this. At least one, but I think both those touchdowns came off penalties, if I'm not mistaken, that moved them up. So that also, it wasn't like the offense got up there and then they stalled. It was like they were, in the red zone or a little further out, and then a penalty moved them up and then they slammed it in. So I think that happened on both of them, if I'm not mistaken. So let's move on to other running back situations. Dylan Sampson. Dylan Sampson's an interesting one, but he's one worth looking at. It's
He's the only one for me that I go, I'm actually looking at trying to acquire him
yeah.
right now. And the reason being, Jerome Ford did not have a whole lot going on yesterday. And we know that Quinshon Judkins is probably a mere 2 or 3 weeks away from probably taking whose role, probably Jerome Ford's role. And the reason why I find Samson appealing is because not necessarily his work as a rusher, but he had 6 catches. That's a lot at the running back position.
I think that's eight. Let me cross ch check that. Let me reference that here. But I think that Dylan Sampson had eight catches on eight targets.
Ooh, I might have read that wrong.
Yep, eight targets, eight receptions. So Tim's
Even
not,
better.
yeah, so Tim's not wrong. We just added to the stat, right? Eight targets, eight receptions, 64 yards. That's a great line. If he's going to be the pass catching running back in Cleveland, where they may have to do some checkdowns, folks, then that's a guy I'm looking at. There
Yeah,
was a guy.
Quinshon Judkins, sorry to interrupt.
No, you're
Quinshon
good.
Judkins, I mean, he could be a three down back. He could come in and just be the guy. But that's not, even if he's that talented, that's not going to happen by design for the first few weeks that he's back. They're not going to be able, with the amount of time that he's missed from training camp to preseason, not getting that contract, dealing with the legal issues. He's talented, but he's not ready to take on an every down role.
Yeah, there was someone, it was 2 or 3 years ago, and I hate that I can't name drop because I really want to drop the name here, but where who I picked him up because he was getting 1 yard passes over and over and over and over again. I can't remember if he was a Jacksonville Jaguar or a Tennessee Titan. I think it was one of those teams. And he kept getting all these passes for like 1 or 2 yards. But every reception, because I play in a PPR league, was worth a point. So he was still getting over 10 points each week, even though he was doing nothing with these catches.
Could be the Daniel Jones rule, right?
Right? Yeah. So that's a lot about Dylan Sampson. If he becomes the pass catching back there, that's something to look at. The last one, he didn't do anything exciting this week. The last one's Kendre Miller, and I bring him up as kind of a point of pride for me because I called him out a long, long time ago over the summer and said I think that they're actually serious about committing him as the RB2 behind Kamara, and that's turns out to be what they're doing. He's getting on the field. And the only thing, like I said in my video of my Scott Fishbowl draft, that he's ever done wrong is be hurt. He's a great back and he can catch passes. And now he's getting the field. He's seeing the field. So he only had 5 carries, but he's going to be the backup in New Orleans. He's a guy to put on the watch list, if not pick up if you have a roster spot, just to keep him there and stash him in case something happens. Because Kamara is another back who he's explosive, he's shifty. And he can maybe, run into some problems because of that. You can run into some injury issues down the line. Hopefully not. We don't hope for that, but again, we prepare. So.
Well, and again, the difference between this year and last year, two big ones that I look at from a stats point of view, the injury component, but also like now you're looking at an age 30 season for Alvin Kamara. So, going to be 30 years old, if your name is not Derrick Henry, usually you're not much longer for a lead back role, at least, right? And
Right.
so
Yeah.
I would look at it kind of the same way as what we would look at kind of a CMC injury type thing. Like if you can find the roster space as an Alvin Kamara owner specifically,
Right. Yeah,
this
we're
might
really
be one
talking
of
about.
those situations where you go, I'm going to handcuff because I see the potential.
We are going to, absent a limited fab budget, we are going to churn our bench. We're going to churn it. And even if we have a fab budget, we're going to churn some guys out. We're going to use that budget, right? So I'm not going to tell you how much money to put on some of these guys because honestly, a lot of these guys are zero bids. If you're in a fab, these are not, we're not talking about like putting like serious fab budget on these guys or anything like that yet because there's just no need. But there are some guys coming up who you may want to spend some fab budget on if you have a fab league. And those names are wide receiver names, I think. So there are some guys there. So we're going to start here. And since we talked about Justin Herbert, we're going to talk about some of his targets. Let's talk about Keenan Allen. Welcome back, Mr. Allen, to Los Angeles and the Chargers. So,
He missed it. He missed being there, I think. I mean, he had a great statistical year in Chicago. We always said, you got DJ Moore there, and then you had Rome Odunze, who they drafted last year, and you go, hey, Keenan Allen was the old wily vet, but he put up some numbers. He can still move, and I don't think that changed from one year to the next. And now you're back with a quarterback who you've spent plenty of off seasons with already, so you didn't really need a whole lot of time this year to speak of coming right back doing the same thing that he was doing 3, 4 years ago.
Yeah, and when he was signed, it was before a lot of big drafts. It was before the big draft weekend. He was signed in LA. So he may be gone. We're going to say that, like someone probably took a shot on him and drafted him, but he might be there. So look for his name and see. And so we look for certain things with these guys that tell us it could be a thing versus it was not a thing. And one of the things that we look at is targets. He got 10 targets. If you're giving a receiver double digit targets, I'm listening. I'm paying attention and I like it. So 10 targets, 7 receptions and a touchdown. We know he has history with Herbert. We know they're BFFs. So I expect that train to keep rolling. I mean, it wasn't like Ladd McConkey wasn't on the field, folks. I hate to say this to the Ladd McConkey owners, but Ladd McConkey was on the field, folks. It wasn't like he wasn't out there. So Keenan Allen still got 10 targets. And the next guy who we're going to talk about was kind of a surprise who may be
He
coming
will
out of the.
definitely be on the waiver wire in a lot of leagues, to
He
be
will
honest.
definitely be because of the stigma that follows him, because of the drops earlier in his career, and that is Quentin Johnston, the guy who constantly gets joked for dropping balls, had a 2-touchdown game on 5 receptions and 7 targets. So, will he do this every week? No. He is not going to have that many touchdowns on the season. He's not going to have 2 touchdowns a week, but it's hard to ignore that performance. And if you watched the game and it was a game that was on primetime where everyone could just watch it and not watch any other games, then you saw that he was part of that game plan, that Herbert was looking at him at times for these passes.
Yeah, I mean, is this truly the same guy that we've seen over the last couple of years? I still don't know, right? Because we've talked about his lack of concentration in the past, his imprecise route running that he's had. But
Yeah.
numbers are numbers, and I don't care how you end up getting them. 5 out of 7, he's probably going to be the big play threat, right? And I find it funny saying this because we started this by talking about don't overreact to things, right? But I also, for someone, because I'm kind of a resistor, I'm a Johnston resistor, I will be saying that probably still now. I'm probably not gonna get him, but if I can say what is a large reason why someone who might be interested in him would want to go after him, I think he's gonna have a whole lot more one-on-one opportunities as a big play threat than he's had ever, because you got McConkey and you got Allen, and those guys don't, they're not gonna spread the field like he is, right? They're gonna kind of be the shifty short to intermediate, up to maybe 15, 16, 18 yard routes, but they're not gonna be getting you that 40 point splash play. And apparently he's catching the ball now, so
Right.
someone to look at.
Yeah. And I'm only going to say this one more time, but it does deserve repeating that week one is not going to give us a lot of our guys that we're crazy excited about because most of our roster is still healthy. When we've got guys dropping more frequently and for longer periods of time or tiring out as is bound to happen, then we're going to have these guys we're really excited about later on and talking about. Right now, we're just talking about guys that you want to look at and you want to pay attention to and respond to their production without overreacting. And if you have a guy who's sitting there who's your wide receiver six and you'd rather have Quentin Johnston, do it. Right? That's the thing, is make your roster better. No matter what that means, make it better. But we're not going to drop someone who we have high hopes for him just because he had two touchdowns this week. Calvin Austin is a target for one of the other quarterbacks we talked about. So let's go over to him.
Yeah,
So.
I'm more excited about Calvin Austin than Quentin Johnson, to be honest. And this is kind of one of those under the radar, low key, interesting names. I think all offseason, Rick, you and I have been kind of talking about Pittsburgh and being a rushing by design franchise, and then going and spending the money to go get DK Metcalf, being able to sit there and say we're going to release George Pickens, and for a while we were thinking that we were going to have both those guys, and then the conversation was like, okay, so they're going to throw 400 times to DK Metcalf and maybe Jonnu Smith, who they went out and got, but there was not a whole lot of talk about what they were doing with that wide receiver room. And I think right now you kind of see, again, I don't know if the passing volume is going to be there on a weekly basis in Pittsburgh, but if we could get 70% of last week on a weekly basis on that throwing, you're gonna wanna have some fab looking at Kelvin Austin, because he is the clear number two there.
Yes. And at least in ESPN leagues, he is 2.3% rostered. So he's probably out there somewhere for some of y'all. A lot of these leagues mirror each other in terms of availability and size within, a couple percentage points. So he is one who is probably available and probably should not be after we saw he can get it done. Four receptions for 70 yards and a touchdown. That's a nice line. Six targets. We would like maybe one more. I like a nice baseline of seven for my receivers. Seven targets is a nice baseline, I think. But, six is good. Four receptions is not great. But, I mean, you do it on a percent.
Maximizing your opportunity,
I was going to
yards per
say, yes.
reception is huge.
Yes, you do it on a percentage basis against his targets, and it's fine because it's four for six. And then you add 70 yards and a touchdown on those four, and he was effective
You're
with the ball.
averaging 17 and a half yards per catch.
So there you
That
have it.
is way above league average.
Yeah, and odds are these days DK is not really your deep guy for Rodgers. DK is going to be your across the middle guy. For a lot of his routes, he will take some deep, I'm sure, but he's going to be available for Rodgers often across the middle, I think. And then, so moving on from Calvin Austin, the next guy we want to talk about before we get to who I consider the big dog of this list, we're going to talk about Wandale Robinson over there in New York. What an interesting name, Wandale Robinson. You're like, who's in New York? Yeah, Wandale Robinson's still in New York. He's been there for a while. And he had eight targets, which meets that threshold of seven, six receptions for 55 yards. So if you're in a PPR league, he was not a bad little play. Nice little 11.5 points.
This is what you're getting from Wandale. I mean, this is not any different than last year, regardless of who's throwing the ball. In fact, I think the intriguing thing for me considering Wandale is if and when Jackson Dart starts to take over, because I think Russ is cooked.
Yeah.
That was not a good showing, and I didn't get to watch as much football as you or probably most of our listeners yesterday, but what I can tell you is they can do better. So,
Yes.
Wandale Robinson, he's your trash man. right? He's the guy who is going to get you probably not that ceiling on a weekly basis, but because of PPR glory, he's going to catch almost everything that comes his way. You know, his catch rate is very, very high, and he's going to churn out medial yardage. That's what he does. It hasn't changed for the last 2 years. Now, we can hope that maybe his yards per reception will grow into the double digits, but I mean, even if they don't, if he gets eight targets and he's getting six for 50, your baseline, even without a touchdown, is going to be over 11 points. Nothing that's going to break the bank one way or the other, but it might save a week for you when you're considering injuries and underperformance.
And this is just a truism, right? This is a football truism, and it plays well for fantasy football. What do teams do when they're down by more than one score and it's the second half?
The answer is not run.
Yes, correct. So the answer in the positive would be throw. They throw the football. New York is going to be throwing a ton. And unless they want Malik Nabers to die this year, that was just a joke, everyone. No one wants him to die this year. But honestly, there were times last year where I was watching him. There was this primetime game he was in where he got like, I don't know, 15 targets or whatever. But on a couple of those, they were like murder balls. Like he was just getting killed. And I literally said to someone I was watching the game with, they're going to kill this man by giving him the ball. Like they're just going to kill him because they kept throwing to him. And it kept working though. So they were going to keep throwing to him. He kept catching it, but he kept getting a hit. And taking that many hits in a game with your star receiver, just getting rocked all game, it's not a good look. So they're going to have to spread it around a little bit.
Yeah, you think they might have learned after last year, because I recall one time when he had to lay out vertically and he got absolutely just pancaked into the ground and he missed the game. So, you know, you got to take care of your stars. You got to take care of everybody, but specifically the dude that you're counting on to give you all the stats.
And at the end of the day, he is their number one, so he's going to get his targets, but it would definitely help if they could get someone else involved so we can, take some of that heat off of him. So, all right, let's move on here and let's go to tight ends. This is an interesting conversation too. So there are some interesting thoughts in this waiver wire round. And we're going to start with someone who's his QB did not make it on our list. And I'm just going to name him as an honorable mention because we didn't put him on our list, Michael Penix. You might want to go look at him. But we're not going to get too much into Michael Penix. We're going to talk about his tight end target that he has been pumping up all offseason. And everyone was like, is it going to happen? Is it really going to happen? Well, we can't say that it was the blow up for Kyle Pitts. We can't say that it was going back to his rookie 1,000-yard season, but eight targets for a tight end is good. We
Yes.
have a perennial mess at tight end for the last several years after a few names. So anyone who can sort that mess out is good. Pitts getting eight targets helps us sort that mess out. He got seven receptions on those eight targets and 59 yards. I think it's only a matter of time before he adds a touchdown to that. What do you think?
Yeah, I for this list, for me to be clear, I'm lukewarm on Kyle Pitts.
Fair.
Because again, this is another thing where you go, hey, is it Kyle Pitts season? And we've been saying that for like two, three seasons. So I'm not sure if this was a situation where the matchup was good for Pitts. And you got to also consider that Darnell Mooney was not in the game.
Correct.
Darnell Mooney,
Yes.
he was called out of the game, so he wasn't a participant. So when I think about those targets, if Mooney's in there, then that's not going to be something that's sustainable for Pitts, in my opinion. But again, Mooney wasn't there. So if Mooney's not there for a couple games, strike while the iron's hot, specifically if you're looking and saying, hey, no one picked up Pitts for some reason, and I have one of these injuries that I am concerned about at the tight end position. This might be a good, perfect move because in the short term, I think Pitts is going to be pretty good. In the long term, I'm kind of a wait and see on him still.
Yeah. Okay. So that's our Pitts conversation. Now let's move on to the Raiders situation with Bowers' injury that we already covered. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on there. So Michael Mayer's there, and he's a capable tight end, folks. As soon as he stepped in, four targets, four receptions, 38 yards. So yeah, he did your 4 for 30 or 4 for 40 that tight ends, we joke about doing, but he was the second tight end until Bowers got injured. So it's not quite the same conversation. If he's taking the Bowers role, if Bowers misses any time, if that's a big if, then we're seeing something. We're seeing something that we could play because he'll take over that role and do just fine in it. Not as well as Bowers. That's why Bowers is a starter, but he'll do fine. What I would actually say about Michael Mayer is that there is a possibility that Bowers owners may want to go out and get him for this week only because they play on Monday night. And we're not sure yet if he's going to go or not. And he feels good. He feels confident, but it was still kind of like with a, I think I'll be good, right? He wasn't like, oh, yeah, I'm definitely playing Monday night. We have an extra day. I'm good to go. It was like, a, I think I'll be good to go kind of thing. So, I think the Bowers owners need to take a look at that and take it seriously.
Yeah, anytime you have some sort of a knee related situation, by the looks of the replay, it's his left knee that he was heavily favoring, and that's the one that he actually had when he fell. That's where all that weight landed. So it could be something that kind of dissipates over the next couple of days, or it could be something that, I know that they have a whole lot of medical technology that we're unaware of. So if it was something super serious, I'm sure that news would have come out, but it's enough for them to not want to say again that he's immediately good. It's very early in the week. Michael Mayer to me is kind of how you would look at Condre Miller at the running back position, right? If you got Alvin Kamara and you want to make sure that you are covered for some sort of extent of time, with the hopes of not needing to use that player, then Mayer may be somebody you're looking at. Or if you also prefer to not have that same bench depth at other positions, you can also go after any of these guys that we've been talking about here at the position, Pitts, or the one that I'm really excited about, Juwan Johnson. Talk to me about him.
Yes, Juwan Johnson. So I'm excited for him too because he was another guy I drafted in the Scott Fishbowl, and I got a couple of little like snickers and like, oh, what are you doing there? And it's like, well, first of all, Scott Fishbowl is totally different scoring. So if you don't know Scott Fishbowl, you can't comment on Scott Fishbowl because you're not going to really understand why people are drafting the way they do in that. But also, I saw him and said, this is a New Orleans team that has questions at quarterback. Has a wide receiver one who is one concussion away, unfortunately, from being out and on the couch, and Rashid Shaheed, essentially, right? That's what we're looking at for pass catch, unless you count Kamara. I mean, he's there obviously, and he catches passes, but we're gonna call him a running back because he is, right? And then I'm like, who's their tight end? It's Juwan Johnson, and I'm like, this is a good spot for Juwan Johnson. That's all I could think. I was like, we have that injury to Taysom Hill. He's not playing right now. So Juwan Johnson's the guy. And he comes out week 1 and gets 11 targets. That is insanity for a tight end. 11 targets, 8 receptions, 76 yards.
That's wide receiver status for sure.
Yeah. And I don't think that that stops. My projection is that that does not stop. So until Taysom Hill is out there and at full speed again, Juwan Johnson is your tight end.
And Taysom Hill, I mean, yeah, the Swiss Army knife. I mean, that doesn't mean that he's going to be playing tight end still, right? So by positional tag, yeah, but I mean that position is Johnson's. And for the future here, I think that's he's the only guy at pass catcher at that position that I would trust. And I think the quarterback feels the same way, clearly.
Right. So we have another guy to talk about, and then I'm gonna pull an audible on Tim here. But first, let's talk about the guy we have left to talk about, and that is Harold Fannin in Cleveland. So that was a surprising one because we really expected Njoku to kind of be, well, I did. When I say we, I mean me and Tim, really. We knew Fannin was there. We're not ignorant of that fact, but we really thought Njoku was going to just be the guy there. And Fannin was just there as extra security, a tight end two type, right? Like a lot of teams are running two tight ends now. You have Buffalo, you have Pittsburgh, they're all doing it. But he ended up with nine targets, which is a lot of targets for a tight end, seven receptions and 63 yards. That can't be ignored. So we got to at least look at it and see if it sustains through next week. And if you have a roster spot and need a tight end, we got to think about it. Or if you're in tight end premium.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy that was drafted in the third round of this year's NFL draft, and last year, I mean, broke the football record for receiving yards, receptions, and receiving yards per game for a season. So I ended up with 1,555 receiving yards on 117 catches in a college football season, not a pro season. So you're talking about a guy who is very useful at the position. I think the big thing, again, preseason, they were really hyping him up. They were really excited about him. It's not like it wasn't out there that they were happy with what they were getting. It's just Njoku, right? And you
Right.
go with this passing game, now thinking about what does this remind us of? It's almost like we're looking at this year's Baltimore situation, right? You got Mark Andrews.
Yeah, I
Everyone
didn't
goes,
even think
hey,
about that.
Mark Andrews has been the guy. And then all of a sudden, week one last year, Isaiah likely comes up and he does essentially the same thing and gets like 25, 27 fantasy football points. The upside is clearly there, right? He's shown that in college. He's shown that so far in terms of professionalism. They have nothing but positive things to say about what he's been able to offer. It was just a huge, huge surprise to me as an Njoku owner, but I think to the fantasy world and maybe even to the Cleveland fan base, just how deeply involved he was in thinking about the target share. Target share was absurd.
And Cleveland fans, you almost got that win. You didn't, and we're sad about it for you, but you almost got that win. Cincinnati Bengals fans, we're happy you got the win, but it wasn't unnecessarily a very pretty win for you. So we're happy for you for skating that one out and getting there. But man, you had to struggle. But week one, Cincinnati, we see this a lot. So anyways, I'm going to pull a little bit of an audible and also pull a name out of a hat who may not be available unless you're in like a 10 team league. You might find him. And we don't talk about him a lot because he's just not a very sexy pick, and he never has been. And that's Dallas Goedert. He's going to be Mr. Consistent. If you need a floor at tight end, if you need a floor at tight end and he's out there, which he might not be, like I said, then he can give you a floor. He's not going to be explosive. Don't expect huge things. But this past week, seven targets, seven receptions, 44 yards, seven receptions and 44 yards in a PPR league is 11.4 points. In a tight end premium, it's even more. He'll give you a safe floor. I don't love it, but he is who he is.
I want to push back on that.
Go ahead.
I think for me it's one of those situations where we go, hey, this is Philadelphia. Their MO is usually to run the ball and to stop the run, right? So I think volume wise that yeah, he was the leading receiver. He was the leading target getter, and I'm wondering if that was like, hey, this is just Jalen Hurts doing some check down stuff. But I also know that your two leading receivers probably got less than him combined. And if I think about the law of averages, you're going to have really, really upset people on the sideline if that is the case, right?
Although
So
that's true.
AJ Brown getting one catch and really I think Skinny Batman only had like 4.5 fantasy points himself. Like that's not gonna be something that we have on a regular basis. And yeah, it'll come at the expense of the run game, but it'll also come at the expense of Goddard.
That's fair. We'll have a little friendly competition here about Goddard. We'll see if he has a safe floor or if he plummets and ends up being, just nothing worth talking about. So, the last thing that is also kind of an audible, we didn't plan to talk about, but I want to because I was thinking, you know, why not? We talked about injuries causing some issues and some guys you might want to look at. We're not going to focus on these guys, but I want to talk about the 49ers. Juwan Jennings is questionable. DeMarcus Robinson is still suspended. Trent Taylor is on IR. Brandon Ayuk is out. Jordan Watkins is out. Jacob Cowing is on IR. Did you even know who that is? Now you do, because this is what their receiver room looks like right now. Sky Moore is healthy. Kendrick Bourne is healthy. Ricky Pearsall is healthy. Marquez Valdez-Scantling is healthy. George Kittle is also out. Luke Farrell is healthy at tight end. Jake Tongs is healthy at tight end. So if you wanted to take a stab in that 49ers offense, someone's got to catch the ball kind of thing. Those are your names. Kendrick Bourne, Ricky Pearsall is obviously drafted. Sky Moore, Luke Farrell, Jake Tongs, but I wouldn't take any of their tight ends. No one's going to duplicate Kittle's work. They're going to just have to do something else. MVS is there if you want to take a shot on him. Like I said, someone's got to catch the ball. That's it.
Yeah, what the hell is in the water in San Francisco, right? Like this is not just this year, it's not been the issue. Like I don't know if this is just it's crazy to think about because you know the 49ers are just a couple of years departed from being in the Super Bowl, right? And since that last Super Bowl appearance, the problem is they don't stay healthy.
I don't have much left to say today, except this, and I wish I could give credit to the person who actually said it first, but someone on X. I really wish I could give you credit. If for some, shot in the dark chance you end up listening to this, please let me know it was you. But I read someone said, I'm convinced that Christian McCaffrey is siphoning the health off the 49ers. I just can't prove it. Like that he's staying healthy because he's absorbing the health from the rest of the team like a witch or a
He is a
wizard.
witch. That's pretty much what they're saying. Or a
So,
warlock, I guess, since he's a man. Either
yeah.
way.
Yeah, so anyway, that's our waiver talk. Tim, do you have anything else to say before we hit the road?
No, I just, you know, as a fantasy football player myself and thinking about week one, again, don't try not to overreact too much to 1 week of football. Understand that you've hopefully prepared and built a team that is able to consistently produce enough so that you cannot have to work a waiver wire on a weekly basis, but have that flexibility to say, you know, if I think that there's someone who's on the waiver wire who has potential to have, even if it's for bye week replacement. It depends on what you need on your team, but if it's bye week replacement or it's, oh man, I just lost three starters and it's only week two, you might have to start dipping into a few different waiver wire positions where I'm gonna move some guys off my bench. And even though I just drafted those guys and part of me likes it and maybe they're higher owned on the system that I'm looking at, you can't just say, hey, I'm going to stick with the guy that I drafted if that's not someone who you can put in and plug and play. Sometimes it's almost like daily fantasy football where you have to look at, hey, how am I going to win just this week? Right? Because you can start 0-1, but you get to 0-3, 0-4 in a fantasy football season when you start playoffs mostly in what, week 15? You only have 14 weeks. So mathematically, this is the time to stay active. So I know you just had your draft. I know that some of you are celebrating that you had a huge first week victory. Congratulations. Even if you did win, you might have some injuries. You might have a guy on your bench that you said, "Ooh, well that late flyer didn't pan out." Get rid of him. Find someone of value.
And at the same time, if you didn't win, you're not going to go out and drop Brian Thomas, right? Or something crazy like that. Don't listen to this if you are.
Trade those players later if you need to. Do not get rid of them.
Don't listen to any of us who talk about waivers publicly and share information. Don't listen to any of us and say, oh my gosh, I got to go out and get that guy because these four shows or podcasts mentioned him and they all said the same thing. We're not telling you to do that. Don't drop quality players for these guys that we mentioned. This is if you need it. And if you want the depth and if you have a guy you can drop and pick one of these guys up, do it, right? Especially when we're talking about some of these guys, Hollywood Brown, that I think is he's got to be on rosters. right now. Like, he's a guy, like, if someone has space, you got to get him. You know, guys like that. Like, there's a couple guys we talked about that are like that. Anyway, we are
One more
belaboring
thing,
this.
Rick, if you don't mind, just
I don't.
another point to make here. For those of you who might have someone like Xavier Worthy or like probably a George Kittle, I know that waivers are gonna hit Tuesday night, right? So tomorrow night it's coming. Pay close attention today to certain situations where if you know that there's a player who's gonna be on IR, rather than have to flip and get rid of a player, most leagues have an IR position for
Yes.
your roster where you don't have to get rid of the player. So for instance, even for suspended players like Rashee
Sometimes.
Rice, right? In certain leagues, you can
Yes.
move them into that slot, hold on to them until they're available in real life, and not have to lose a player in order to get more players onto your roster.
All right, we are actually going to let you go. This is us signing off. We are points per reflection. I am Rick Barry. He is Tim DeCook. Take care.
Have a great night.